Numbers, weren't we reminded, especially those of us that owed some money at tax time? Numbers, our lives are just filled with numbers. Every year we file our income taxes, numbers. The government knows us by our tax number. The bank knows us by our account number. The state knows us by our driver's license number. In a busy restaurant, they give you a number and say, we'll call you. But God, however, knows our name. He knows us intimately. He knows us even better than we know ourselves. Jesus said He knows the number of hairs that are on our head. Find comfort and encouragement today from the gospel. Would you turn with me to John chapter 10? John chapter 10, we find out that we have a good shepherd. And if there's a good shepherd, then there must be a shepherd who's not so good. We have a shepherd who leads us if we let him. When Bill reminded us this morning, we're reminded that the Lord is my shepherd. When we say that, we're simply admitting our need for Almighty God in our lives. Would you stand together with me as we read from John chapter 10, beginning with the 7th verse. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep, scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by them. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Let's pray. Father, we bless you today, and we declare the Lord is my shepherd. All of our needs are met. In the presence of enemies, in the presence of danger, you give us rest. You find us something to eat and find us something to meet every need that we have. Father, may we be so overwhelmed today with this one thought: the Lord is my shepherd. Father, let that sink in and let us walk in the confidence, the peace, and the boldness that that brings today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go ahead and be seated. The good shepherd knows us by name. How many of you wish you were better with names? Oh, I remember that face, but remember your name. Someone was helping me in a place of business this week, and I said, what is your name? I was so embarrassed. That was somebody that was 1 year behind me in high school, and his brother was in my grade. And I said, I knew you, but I didn't remember his name. Don't you wish you were better at that? There's just something about hearing one's name. I don't know what it is, but it brings us a lot of joy, a lot of comfort, a lot of strength for somebody here. How many of you grew up watching Cheers? Okay. Lets you know that most of the room is a lot younger than the rest of us. How many of you saw it on reruns before? Okay. Remember there was one sort of, let's say, fluffy, obvious alcoholic that was at the bar every day. And when he would enter the bar, how was he greeted? See, you remember his name. Norm. There's just something about, I want to be in a place where people know me and they know me by name and they're glad that I'm here and the Lord is our shepherd. Aren't you glad? When we know that God believes in us, we begin to believe in ourselves. You know, all sorts of self-help things and self-actualization and self-help, all this sort of thing, it really falls short unless it begins with, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord knows me. The Lord believes in me. When you know that the Lord, the creator of the universe, believes in you, then you can believe in yourself. The rest of it's sort of hoping and a praying. I mean, hoping and wishing. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and the voice of a stranger they'll not follow. Can I just say this to you? Listening to the good shepherd's voice is vitally important. It's the key to finding good pastures, still waters, and the paths of righteousness. I don't know what you need to do in your life to create enough space so that you can hear the voice of the good shepherd, but whatever it is that you need to do that thing. Now, for me, all I can tell you is that I tend to hear the voice of God a lot better when there's no roof over my head and there's no walls boxing me in. There's something about being outside. You know, the next few days, I'll be here Wednesday night. We're teaching on the subject of prayer, really, literally all over the building. Come in and learn how to pray better with us on Wednesday nights. We teach on prayer and then we pray. And so I'd invite you to come do that. And so I'll be here Wednesday. But for the next few days, I've got to go to a meeting in the St. Charles area in their evening meetings. But literally every day, as soon as I say amen, as soon as we shake hands and tell everybody goodbye, I'm going to go get outside for the next 3 days and just spend a significant time just talking with God, just me alone with God. And outside, because the Lord is my shepherd. And I need to hear His voice. He directs me to the pasture that I need. He directs me to the still water. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. But how can He do so unless I create some space to hear His voice? It's hard to hear the voice of God with the television blaring. It's hard to hear the voice of God just with so many people around. It's hard to hear the voice of God while you're doing that. Do you realize that in the major cities of the U.S., they're literally having to consider, should we make it illegal for people to use their phone and walk? Because they're dangerous. They run into you. You know, just walk the streets of Chicago. I've not been in New York City since Michelle and I were very early in our marriage, but we get up to Chicago every once in a while, and it's amazing how many people will just run into you because they're doing this. How are they able to ever create enough space in their life to hear from the good shepherd when they're always talking? And they're always communicating. You know, God wants to speak, and I believe that God is speaking to us, but you know, like husbands know this very well. I don't know what it is, but my wife is always talking when I'm not listening. And I think it's the same way with God. God's speaking to us, but we're not listening to His voice. Can you say, oh my, or amen, or something to that? But the Good Shepherd sustains us in our journey of faith. This walk of faith is a long journey. I see Mitch Bernsketter up there. He's getting ready to take a long long journey on his bicycle by himself. He'll need the Lord to sustain him. And his wife laughed at that. But, he's like the endurance champion of the world. Well, at least of Chillicothe. But you know, I don't know about you, but I couldn't have made it this long without the Lord in my life. I couldn't have lived victoriously without the Lord sustaining my life. And I'm just here to remind you that the Lord is my shepherd today. Only the good shepherd can keep me on the narrow path. How about you? And if we stray away, he's the one that searches for us and brings us back home. It's the good shepherd that laid down his life for us. And he sends us then back out for his lost sheep. I want you to be so overwhelmed today that the Lord is my shepherd, that you're not able to keep that to yourself. I want you to be so overwhelmed today that the Lord is my person, not just me. I mean, you personally, he's your shepherd. He's my shepherd. I want you to be so overwhelmed and so confident in that, that it would motivate you. It would compel you. It would drive you to sharing that with other people. I mean, if you really knew how good God was and how much he really does love you and how much he really does care for you and how he laid down his life for you and how he wants to lead you and guide you through your life, if you really knew that in a real intimate, experiential way, you would want to share that with other people. Look at John chapter 20, if you would, please. Several years ago, about 2:30 in the morning, on a Sunday morning, Saturday night leading into Sunday morning, about 2:30 in the morning, Sunday morning, I really believe I was awakened by the Lord with this scripture. And I found it. It's John 21, verse 15. And so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He was talking about the fish they just caught. And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." And I want you to notice the word lambs, adolescent, young sheep. Verse 16, and he said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter by this time was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" Like it was being questioned, but come on, somebody. Peter, not very many days previous to this, had absolutely denied the Lord three times with cursing that he even knew the guy. All right? But aren't you glad the Good Shepherd doesn't give up on us because we blow it? Aren't you glad that the Good Shepherd gives us another opportunity to do it right this time? Come on. And he asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "You know that I love you." And the first response was, "Feed my little lambs." And the second response, he said, "Tend," a different word for feed, "tend my sheep." And the third time, and he's grieved this time, he said, "Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus did know that Peter loved him. Man, we can love the Lord and still blow it. You know, they asked one of these famous preachers that, you know, ingloriously fell before the whole world and then his whole, kingdom crumbled right before us on national television, even before the internet days. And then in an interview, they asked this gentleman, said, "When did you stop loving God?" He said, "I never stopped loving God, but I sure did lose the fear of the Lord." Man, we can love God and still blow it. Come on. But at some point in our life, our love for God that we state verbally needs to become actions. Are you listening to? It needs to be backed up. The scripture I didn't read, Jesus breathed in John 20, verse 22. He breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he said, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you out into the world." That's some pretty powerful stuff. And Jesus asking Peter, "Do you love me?" He wasn't asking just, you know, what's in your heart, Peter? You know, express to me the emotions that you're having right now, Peter. He didn't ask for that. When Peter said in the affirmative, "Yes, Lord, I do love you," Jesus gave him then something to do. And I'm telling you, our love for Jesus should motivate us all to do something about that fact. Our love that we have in our hearts should manifest in something that we do in expressing our love towards the Lord. James refers to this, and he said, "Faith without works is dead." That's a little bit blind to us, but faith without a corresponding action is useless. We can say that we have faith, but if it's not demonstrated in some way, what good is our faith? It's not doing us a lot of good, and it's certainly not doing a lot of other people a lot of good. But if we know that we know that we know that the Good Shepherd abides in us and He'll never leave us nor forsake us, He knows us by name, He does have a plan for our life, come on somebody, and He wants to speak to us, and He wants to guide us, and He wants to lead us to those still waters and that green pasture. He wants to restore our soul. He wants us to be at rest even in the midst of all kinds of danger. If we know that and we've experienced that, then Jesus would say to all of us today, "Do you really love me?" I don't think this was just for Peter. If it was just for Peter, then it would not have been recorded for our benefit for us to read about it later. Are you listening to me? In a similar way, if you really know that you know that you know that you are part of the sheepfold and Jesus is the good shepherd in your life, then I'm telling you, He's going to look at you in the same way that He looked at Peter and said, "Do you love me?" And you're going to answer, I know you're going to say, "Lord, you know that I love you," but I'm telling you, you need to hear the voice of the shepherd today that says, "Then feed my little lambs, tend to my sheep, feed my sheep." Now, when the Lord, I believe, awakened me again several years ago, I was looking back through my prayer journals to find the exact date, but it was 8 or 10 or 12 years ago, when I read this, the Lord said, if you will feed my sheep, I'll build the church. Our job is not to build the church. Our job is to feed the sheep. Now, there's three very specific assignments that the Lord gave me. Take care of the young people. Feed the little lambs. Do you realize that the majority of churches, at least in America that I'm aware of, sort of the afterthought that they have is young people? And it's sad to see that those churches are dying, 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 dying. Why? Because we've been given a job to do. And the very first thing Jesus said, that if you love me, then you need to take care of the young people. That's why it was such a spectacularly glorious, beautiful thing that we did this morning in dedicating our children to the Lord. Because it's our first assignment as a church is to take care of the young people. Jesus emphasized this over and over again by allowing the children to come to Him and be blessed. He said, "I don't have anything more important to do than this. Leave these parents alone. Let them bring their children to me that I might bless them." I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is all about being like a little child. And if you never have little children around you, you forget what it's like to be a little child. the last thing I would ever want to do in my life is pastor just a group of grouchy old people. We need the joy and the enthusiasm of young people. And from that, not that we weren't already dedicated to that, but we doubled down our emphasis on what we're doing for young people. So if you want to be involved with what Jesus is doing on the earth today, the best place to get involved is feeding the little lambs. Going over and ministering in that nursery, going over in that children's apartment and serving the Lord by serving these young families and especially their children. If you want to be blessed of the Lord, that's the best place I know to go and do that. You want to be around young children who still think you're awesome. You want to be around young children who still look up to you. You still want to be around young children that will, I'll be honest, Michelle and I have done a lot of trips around the world. We've taken a lot of groups around the world. The easiest trips far and away to take have to do with young people. Taking young people all over the world. Why? Because they're still full of wonder. They're still full of zeal. They're still full of enthusiasm. That's why we got really involved. That's why we're going to get behind. If our young people want to go and serve the Lord somewhere around the world, we're going to make sure that every kid that wants to go gets to go because Jesus told us to take care of the young people. And you put the world, and you put a world vision in them. I mean, it will change their life forever when they see what real poverty looks like and they see people that have never heard about Jesus or have not been given enough opportunity to hear about Jesus. It changes them forever because Jesus said, feed my little lambs. But then he said, take care, tend. That word tend in the next verse, it means to guard and protect. It means to lead, guide, and direct. Tend my sheep. And so we just make sure that we are doing our utmost to lead and guide you through your spiritual life and to take care of you if you're wounded and go out after and seek after you if some way you stray away and get lost. And that last thing, he really said, feed my sheep. And I took that literally because the word feed means find them something to eat. And so this afternoon, that's where the Life Center food pantry came from. That word from the Lord that woke me up in the middle of the night. I took it literally. Find people something to eat. And this afternoon, there'll be 135 to 150 families that show up and we get to feed them and take the words of Jesus literally. If the Lord's been good to you, and you really do love the Lord, then I'm telling you, he's going to give you something to do, and it has to do with other people. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus had just ministered to several sick people. And he was standing probably in the area of the Garden of Gethsemane, on the Mount of Olives, looking down over the city of Jerusalem. And he began to weep over the city. And he said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. Then he looked at the 12 and he said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send out laborers into the harvest, for the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And then Matthew 10 and verse 1, he sent them out two by two and he said, go and preach the kingdom of heaven and heal the sick. And when you heal the sick, say the kingdom of God has come near to you. If you want to walk in power and authority, I mean, there's a lot of books out there on the authority of the believer, the power that you can have as a follower of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that's in the context of feeding the sheep? That's in the context of doing the works of Jesus? We have a good shepherd. How many of you, again, give me a great big amen and say the Lord's been good to you? And if the Lord's been good to you, then he has an assignment for you. As the Father has sent me as the good shepherd, I'm sending you as the good shepherd into the world. Let's be honest, some of us are not fulfilling that assignment today. What part of taking care of the young ones are you doing? What part of tending, looking after, caring for, giving guidance and leadership to God's people, or what part of actually, literally feeding? One of the things that we like to do is get together and eat. You know, that's one of the most Christian things to do. Look it up. The book of Acts, they started getting together and sharing meals together and praying and listening to the apostles' teaching and inviting their friends. And the Lord just kept saving people and adding to the church as they were being saved. We have a good shepherd, but we need to share him with the rest of the sheep. Jesus, you might not have noticed, in John 10, he said, you know, there's other sheep that are not part of the fold yet. And in John 17, when he's in the garden, he starts praying for them also. The harvest is great, the laborers are few, but there's enough of us to get the job done if we'll just be obedient to the Lord. Let's create some spaces in our life to hear the voice of our shepherd. And I promise you, he's going to say something like, feed my sheep. Feed my little lambs. Tend the sheep. Let's bow our head and close our eyes, please, this morning. Who in the building is absolutely suffering in your body? You're in pain, or you're something medical is very acute, and you're very aware of it. Right now, you're suffering in some way. Right now, in the room, could you just, while every head's bowed, every eye's closed, would you just raise up your hand for me? I just want to say a quick prayer for you. Okay, right over here, in the back, over here. Okay, there's like four or five of you. Can we just be obedient to God? Can I just lay hands and pray for you before we dismiss today? Would everybody stand up to your feet? If you've never called on the name of the Lord Jesus for salvation, if you've never received the gift of everlasting life, you've never accepted the Good Shepherd's invitation, you couldn't really confidently say the Lord is my shepherd, but you'd like to be able to say that today. Yeah, just all those that I need to pray for, if you just come up here and stand for just a minute. God bless you. You know, there's some sheep that have wandered away. Go ahead and come. I just want to pray for you before we go. I don't want to make a big show of it, but I just want to be obedient to God. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a shepherd who would leave the 99 and go after that one lost sheep. So if you've wandered away from the Lord, just come join this line and we'll just pray for you in a little different way than those others. Or if you want to call in the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved today, would you just come join the line right now? And I want you to just, as we're dismissing today, I want you to stretch out your hand towards these that came. I want you to pray for them like they're one of your relatives, like one of your closest relatives, brother, sister, mom, dad. And let's join together, because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my midst, I'm there. But he said it in a very specific context. He said that whatever you touch on earth in agreement, in prayer, I'll be there in the midst of you. Where two or three are gathered together, I'm there. And if Jesus is here, that means the Good Shepherd's here. That means you shall not want. That means there's green pastures for you. That means the healer's here. Come on, that's the one, the restorer's here. In Ezekiel, God said, I'm going to raise up a shepherd for you. And he's going to seek you out. He's going to bring healing and restoration. He's going to bring peace and abundance to you. He's a good shepherd today. And as the Father sent Jesus, he sent us to do the work of the shepherd. So as the body of Christ, Lord, we extend our hands towards these that are in need right now. And we say and ask, Father God, that you would meet their need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That you'd pour out your goodness upon them right now. that you would strengthen that which is weak, that you would restore that which has been stolen, that you would repair what is broken, that you would drive out what shouldn't be in this body or in this mind or in this life right now. We command you to be gone right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you to heal, to restore, to set free, to make whole right now in Jesus' name. Roger and Barb, why don't you start at this end? Michelle and I'll start at this end. We're going to lay hands on these and then we'll dismiss you. But let's just stay in agreement for these that have come right now. Jesus.